Nobody pays any attention to you. You're a bore. He didn't argue. He just let her vent, and the next morning went to work, where the only pressure on him was to do his job. Anson Aerospace landed a juicy contract to build a megawatt-plus laser for the Missile Defense Agency. The whole company was abuzz with the news, and Victor Anson himself called a meeting of the entire staff in the company cafeteria to tell them that this program would be the most important contract the firm had ever received. Harry was surprised when he was picked to be part of the team building the megawatt-plus chemical laser, part of the small, select group of engineers who would build the device. Dr. Jacob Levy was picked to head the laser group, with Pete Quintana as the chief engineer under him. Monk Delaney complained to Harry that Quintana only got the job because he was Hispanic, and the company wanted to look good to the affirmative action busybodies. A couple of the guys began calling Quintana El Jefe. Harry and the others went along with it. What the hell, Harry thought. He had no problems with an Hispanic being his immediate supervisor. He liked Pete. Sylvia took the news of Harry's new assignment strangely.
I suppose that means you'll be working longer hours, doesn't it?
She asked that evening after their daughters had gone to their rooms to do their homework. Harry could hear the thumping beat of the music they listened to while they were supposed to be studying. Yeah, I guess so, he said. Sylvia grumbled, and Harry wondered why she got sore at the fact that he was successful at his work. Look, Sylvie, I've got a big responsibility now, he tried to explain. I know I'm not a genius. I've got to put in long hours and work as hard as I can. These scientists I'm working for are really brilliant. I've got to give it everything I've got just to keep up with them. Sylvia stared at his earnest face and shook her head. There were women in the lab, of course, a couple of Caltech grads among the scientific staff, several engineers and technicians. A few of them were even good-looking. The Christmas parties were fun, although Harry always drove straight home afterward. Sylvia would scowl at him the next day as Harry nursed his hangover and thanked whatever gods there be that the Pasadena traffic cops hadn't stopped him on the way home. Sylvia had given up her teaching career, such as it was once she became pregnant with Victoria. Then came Denise. Instead of a career in education, Sylvia pursued causes. Women's rights, neighborhood beautification, abused children, political campaigns. Harry thought of them as hobby horses. Sylvia always had some cause or other to keep her busy, as if raising two daughters wasn't enough of a job. Through her causes, she met people, dragged Harry to meetings and cocktail parties, gave herself a sense of accomplishment. Harry didn't mind Sylvia's hobby horses as long as they didn't interfere with the increasingly long hours he had to put in at the lab. He settled into middle-class Americana, his wispy hair thinning even more, his kids growing up amazingly fast, his wife slowly, slowly becoming more distant. Harry could never understand why Sylvia was resentful that his job absorbed so much of his time and interest, and that he enjoyed it. "We never go anywhere," she would complain. "We took the kids to Disney World, didn't we? Last year." "So?" "I was thinking about an ocean cruise, maybe to Hawaii." Harry scratched his head. "The four of us? Do you know what that would cost?"
"We could leave the girls with the Sabelskis. Just you and me, Harry, on a beautiful ocean liner."
He thought about how much time that would take, but knew better than mention that out loud. Besides, she knew he had amassed lots of unused vacation days. "We'll see," he said. Nearly a year later, he finally gave in to her drumbeat.